Good morning. If you don't know me, there's a reason. I've been gone for a little while now. It's super exciting to see you. In fact, I've been gone for so long at this point that as I was thinking about what we would do this morning, I thought, okay, this morning I'm going to have three goals. How many goals? Hey. That was borderline enthusiastic. Not quite enthusiastic, but borderline enthusiastic. We'll try to build as we go. Three goals this morning. So the first one is I would like to reintroduce myself because you've probably forgotten me. Second thing I'd like to do is actually help you do your part of the introduction as well, because you probably are like, oh no, who is this fellow? I would like to know who he is, and I should probably reintroduce myself to him so that, you know, we have, once again, a very good relationship. And the third thing is I want to talk about why we are here. Okay, so those are our three goals. Who am I, who are you, and why are we here? Fair enough? But the way that we're going to do that is initially very briefly, and then we're actually going to let God's word govern the situation. God's word is going to tell us who I am, who you are, and what we're all doing here. Does that seem okay to you? Hey, that was enthusiastic from Meher, and the rest of you need a little work. Because that's true, I'm going to pray for you. Here we go. King Jesus, we thank you that we get to gather in your midst this morning. We are so grateful to be yours. Thank you so much for adopting us into your household, to making us co-heirs with you, and for allowing us now, as in a mirror dimly, to see your glory and to delight in your presence, and soon and very soon to experience you fully as face to face, and to get to delight eternally in your presence. Remind us this morning, Hame Yad Rahie Aj Suba Ki Apki Upastiti Hamare Faida He. Hame Yad Me Rehena Pertahe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, who am I? My name is Chris. I have been here a part of Word of Grace for over a couple years now, it seems, and I am so delighted to be home. Home with my wife, home with my kids, home with you. This is the body that we call home, and it is so good to be here. Who you are is the aforementioned Word of Grace. We are the church gathered together because our God is a lion and he is a lamb and he deserves to be worshipped. And we used to be from different peoples in different places, but we are now one people called by his name. Hallelujah. And why we're here? Good question. We're here for all of those reasons, but we're also here for a reason that you may not have considered. And so we are this morning going to be in Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah 16. I know what you're thinking. Ah, that was my quiet time this morning, Jeremiah 16. I have been there reading only Jeremiah 16 for months. I have it all memorized. If you don't have it memorized, we're going to start in verse 14, and we're only going to go through three verses this morning. So that's where we're going to spend our time. And what we're going to do is we are going to read this super slowly. Itne dire hamsat sat parenge. Itne dire. Why? Because if you're like me, sometimes when you are reading the scriptures, it gets a little confusing. Does it ever for you? Is it just probably just me? You guys all awesome at it. Me, not as awesome. But sometimes it gets a little confusing. So what we're going to do is we're going to read it super slowly. We're going to read the first verse. We're going to talk about it. We're going to read the next verse. We'll talk about that. And then finally, we'll read the third verse. Okay? So really, we're only dealing with one verse for right now. So if you show me, look at these guys. They are pros, aren't they? This is not their first day here serving. Let's give them a round of applause. Talk about people who never get a round of applause. It's these guys. Praise the Lord for them. So let me read with you. However, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when men will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought up the Israelites up out of Egypt. It goes a little further. Let's go to the next chunk. But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all of the countries where he had banished them, for I will restore them to the land I gave their forefathers. Now, I know what you're thinking. That is astonishing. Okay, maybe you're not thinking that. But you will soon be thinking that. Because this really is absolutely astonishing. But until we quickly review the history of God's people, it won't feel that way. You see, they're in Egypt and they are calling out for a great salvation, and God delivers. He delivers a salvation that features plagues, features the parting of a sea, features his presence coming and leading them in a literal column of fire. It features the destruction of all of their enemies. It features the people that were formerly their slave masters handing them all of their precious goods and say, take them and leave. It features their God conquering their greatest foe, the world's superpower at the time, and leading them in a parade of victory, ultimately, with some wandering, to the land that he had promised them. This was the very thing that for generations and generations and generations and generations, that fathers would tell their sons, would tell their sons, would tell their sons, would tell their sons. In fact, every year they would celebrate this event, this great salvation that their God had worked in their midst. And in fact, when other peoples would meet them, this is how they were known. Oh, you are the people whose God took you out of the land of Egypt and rescued you. We've heard of you. We've especially heard of that God. And this is the God that is remembered over and over and over and over again throughout the Psalms and throughout Israel's history. And so now, having reviewed that, we can go back to the statement in verses 14 and 15 and understand why it is utterly astonishing. Because when we read in 14 and 15 that God declares that men will no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the Israelites up out of Egypt, he's saying, you have referred to me this way forever. That since Egypt, when I worked this incredible salvation in your midst, this is the way that you referred to me. This is how you remembered me. But he says, there is soon coming a day where you won't even think about that. Where you will no longer remember me that way. In fact, people will no longer refer to me that way. He's saying, that will no longer be my name. Why? Because a salvation that is coming is so much greater than that, you won't bother to celebrate it. You won't bother to remember it. The salvation I am about to work in your midst is so much greater, you'll honestly lose it on the calendar and embrace this new and greater salvation, this new and greater name. That's pretty surprising. And when I was trying to think of like my own life, what this has looked like, because sometimes, like, you know, we encounter something that's new and greater, It reminded me of this story from my own life. I, in college, had a great friend. In university, I had this amazing friend, and we loved to do everything together. And we would do this together and that together, and one time we even went camping together with some other friends. And we were enjoying the camping, and then we went to bed that night, and my tent was here. And in the middle of the night, I'm laying in my tent, I'm just about to go to sleep, and I hear, and I think, oh my gosh, there's a bear. Bada baluhe. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh. And I start looking at the other guys in the tent, and I'm like, okay. I'm faster than that one, not as fast as that one. I don't have to be the fastest one here. I just have to be faster than him. And so I decide, okay, I'm going to look. And I open the tent a little, and I look out, and I don't see a bear. But I can hear the noise. And I'm like, okay. And so I follow the noise. I follow the noise. I follow the noise. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. The bear is in my friend's tent. The bear has got them. And I'm like, okay, so I'll come closer, I'll come closer, I'll come closer. And I come to realize that it is not a bear, but that my friend is an epic snorer. And for years and years, I have told that story. Because that was the most epic snore I had ever heard. Lekin kishin bai vo janta hai ki hal hi mein ek dusri ki awaz maine suna aur pehle wale se bahut mazboot tha bahut zor se tha. Because this last week, I was in a place called Nashik. And while I was there, I had the deep pleasure of getting to stay with one of our brothers, whose name is Pastor Edgar, and his lovely wife, Isabel. And while I was there, after lunch one afternoon, I was doing some work, and all of a sudden, I heard... And I'm pretty sure the floor shook in the flat. And I was frightened. I said, what manner of power is this? So I will no longer talk about my university friend's snore. Because I have met a true and greater snore. The snore of Edgar. And so Pastor Edgar's snore is the only snore I will remember or talk about from these days forward. And as it is in my own life, so it is also with God's word. That he is saying that you will no longer talk about this previous salvation because this new salvation I am working in your midst is so much greater. It will transform the way you think about salvation. So the question becomes, well, what on earth does this salvation look like? Because the previous one featured God himself coming as a literal pillar of fire and lending his presence to his people and leading them up out of slavery. But you see, you and I, we already know the answer. Because the greater salvation includes God coming down, not as a pillar of fire, but as a man. And living amongst us and lending us his presence as that man, and then ultimately giving his life as a ransom for many. And dying upon the cross and being raised from the dead for our great salvation, not from human slave masters, but from the tyranny of death and sin. And not only that, but that we have been, through this salvation, adopted into his own family, into his own family, and we will inherit, ultimately, when he returns, everything that is his, which, oh, by the way, as we heard this morning, is everything. There is nothing he doesn't own. And the very best thing is that we will get him himself to be with us forever, because his nearness is our good. So how will he accomplish this? We'll go to the next verse to find out. 16:16. But now I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them. And after that I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill from the crevices of the rocks. You see, God, with the previous salvation, came down as a pillar of fire and led his people out of slavery. But in this, his greater salvation, he's using us. You see, Jesus came later, and he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he looked at them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left everything and followed him. When Jesus says this to some fishermen, he's not using a clever turn of phrase. He is quoting Jeremiah 16, that he is gathering those who will be fishers of men and hunters. And his plan for them is this, that he will be sending his people by sea and by land, to the very highest tops of the mountains, to the very low-lying cracks in the rocks. He will send his people called by his name everywhere. And they will seek out and find by sea and by land, to the tops of hills, to the bottoms of the crevices of the very rocks. He will seek out his own people. And he will use his own people to bring them back to himself. And it was sometime after this that Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." Of whom? Of all nations. Of all people everywhere. So this brings us back to a really important thing. I had three goals for us to start this morning. Who am I? Who are you? And why are we here? My name is Chris, but the most important thing about me is that I am a fisher of men, that I am a hunter of men, that I am me shikarihu, me machuahu. Aur aap sab kon hai? Aap bhi shikari hai, machua hai. That is who we are. Only the difference is that when I go out and fish for men and hunt for men and women and anyone, when I catch them, I don't bring death. I bring life forever. And if that's who I am, then that is certainly, if you are in Christ this morning, if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus, that is also who you are. And that's why we're here. That we come together to worship his name, to remind each other of who we are, who he is making us to be, and that we are a part of this greater salvation. Let me ask you, when was the last time you celebrated Passover? We remember in part, but we usually can't find it on the calendar. We don't know. When was the last time you celebrated Easter? each and every year. Because this is a far greater salvation that our God is working in our midst, and he is using us to do it. What a privilege it is to be the instrument that God uses to bring his people to himself, to ransom sinners from the grave, to be his very words when he says, "Lazarus, come out of there." And he wakes the dead and brings them to life through us. Amen? That's who we are. And that's why we're here. And the good news is that he is doing it in our very midst. Let's thank him in prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much that you have ransomed us from the grave, that we were dead and now we're alive, that the scriptures said that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which we once all walked. But the two sweetest words in all of scripture, "But God." We were dead, but God, because of the great love with which he once loved us, has made us alive together in Christ. That by grace we have been saved, and that this is not our undoing, but it is a gift from God that none of us may boast, and instead that we would get to walk in good works that you have prepared ahead of time for us. Thank you for making us yours, and thank you for making us the very instrument that you use to bring the dead to life. Please give us grace and courage and humility to carry out this task for your name's sake. And come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You know, this morning as I was praying, I had a picture for our church. I said, "Lord, give me something. What do you want me to share?" And the picture I had was, have you seen cars racing? Okay? Cars racing. Maybe it's a long cross country or whatever. Just cars racing. And then every so often what they would do is when they would race, they would take a pit stop. I think that's what they call it. Yeah, the car stops. It gets, you know, so anything needs to be fixed, that gets fixed. The driver may have some refreshments and all that. And then what happens after that? The car joins the race back again. And the picture I got is that we were these cars. We are in a great race, okay? And some of us have stopped at the pit stop. The only difference is that the picture I got was the car is stopped at the pit stop and the driver is very comfortable at the pit stop and doesn't want to continue with the race. Is that any of us? You know, where Chris has wonderfully reminded us of what we are here for. Okay, coming to a Sunday meeting is not the race, it's the pit stop. Yeah, going out and sharing the gospel and making disciples is the race. Amen? And so, would you take that word this morning? And if that's you this morning, you're saying, "Yeah, you know, I've so enjoyed the pits. It's wonderful to come here. Worship the Lord, beautiful band and worship and lovely people. That's great, you know. And we're being built up and strengthened, and that's wonderful. But really, the goal is to take the gospel and make disciples of nations." And Jesus has promised, what will propel us to get out of the pit stop and once again join the race? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Okay, we need the Holy Spirit. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's what will propel us out. And this morning, if you're saying, "I'd like to receive a touch from the Holy Spirit this morning. I want more of his power in my life so I can move out of the pit stop and continue with the race. Would you like to stand? I'll pray for you this morning. Yeah? You're saying, Lord, fill me with your power from on high. I'm at the pit stop. It's wonderful, but I've been built for the race, not for the pit stop. Amen. Lift your gaze towards Jesus. Stretch out your hands towards heaven. You know, he's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you that you've created us. Our purpose is to make Jesus famous, to tell people about this great salvation, which is so much greater than what you did in Egypt, Lord. Oh, Father, Lord, I thank you that you've involved us in this great plan of God to reach the nations through weak men and women like us, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Apart from you, I confess, we can do nothing, Lord. Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, come upon us, that we would be gossipers of the gospel. We would boldly proclaim the gospel. We would go out to people and tell them about the wonderful Savior who died for them. Lord, would you do that for me, Lord? Would you do that for each one of us? Fill us with your Spirit today, we pray, Lord. Lord, may we be bold as lions because you are the Lion of Judah, Lord. May we be bold as lions. May we be like lambs as we gently share the gospel with gentleness and respect, Lord. Lord, would you enable us to, would you stretch out your hand that as we pray for people, the power of heaven would come down, Lord, to heal and to declare the wonders of Jesus. Lord, use us, we pray. We want to be used by you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.